Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
Alright, cool. Jeff. A little peek behind the curtain. This is going to look like our second pod of the week. How about that? And that, I mean, it's because, you know, it's because fantasy is ramping up. You have a whole diatribe lined up later on in the pod. But right now, we're just getting started here on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Tin cans gone away. No more connecting by a piece of wire across the country to talk. I think we've got all the stuff figured out. By the way, Jeff, I know you're a big fan of listening to the pods after we're done. What episode is this?
125, I'll say.
Oh, little presumptuous there. 122.
Ooh.
122 episodes. That's a lot of wasted time, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
A lot of, I mean, just add up all those hours. Now remember, we used to do two times a week, by the way. How about that? Those were the days getting the analysis in. But you know what? Once fantasy starts, we may do that. You never know. Of course, you got to get the pods for the leagues that we're in, get the in-depth analysis, the previews, the DraftKings. It'll all be coming up one way or another, Jeff. That is, of course, if there is a season. I'm betting there is. I mean, well, I'm not betting there is. I'm hoping there is, Jeff, for both of our sakes. Baseball starting up tomorrow. Unreal. Basketball starts up in a week. But as of right now, episode 122 starts today. How you doing, Jeff?
Well, it's great to be here. I'm eagerly awaiting, you know, biggest fan of the pod, Scotty's text about the audio quality of last time. But we got to figure it out. We're good to go, you know. Unofficial sponsors, Audacity, Zencaster, still here, still putting it together. We got a lot to get into, Will. Where do you want to hit it? We got a lot of soccer is ramping to its crescendo. We got, I was amazed. Like, I mean, next week is pretty much August. And then that means there should have been like ramping up to preseason. No preseason, but that means fantasy drafts are only about a month and a half out. You know, it'll be real interesting here in the next couple weeks to see how it takes shape. I think between baseball and basketball and international sports, they've got the kind of model figured out, but NFL being the biggest, baddest, and the best will have its own spin and intricacies that will, play out. But maybe let's hit the old former pastime of the U.S., baseball. I know Mike Murphy has been gearing up. He's got all the Dodgers, you know, pre-exhibition games on record. He's watching them at night after Terry goes to sleep, staying up night, hungry for some action. I guess a positive out of this, just my one minor take, the whole teams having deals with specific networks kind of went out the window given the shortened season. And so Mike's excited because he's going to be able to watch every Dodger game versus being only on like Spectrum or some stupid thing like that. So that's kind of a positive. I'm not sure how to work that out with like MLB TV, but then again, they own that platform. So I don't know. Will, hit me. You're big in the fantasy baseball community. I don't think we need a deep dive on this pod on it, but are things progressing? Have you guys drafted yet? Like, how are you thinking things are changing? Like, I don't know. Is pitching more or less important given the shortened season? I don't know. Hit me with some key points on baseball.
I have some breaking news really quick. So, off the top mention, I was watching some Sky Sports. I don't know what's happening right now because they're talking about the championship and how QPR might get promoted, West Brom might get promoted, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the most random player just got shown in an interview right now. And I mean, FIFA legend. I can't even begin to just recall how amazing this player was in FIFA. Give me a name. Who do you think just popped up? They just interviewed him. I don't know why. They're talking about the championship, so maybe he... I mean, FIFA legend. Scott Hammond obviously knows. Sarantino knows. Drop a name. I'm talking FIFA, like FIFA 10.
I have no idea. I saw something.
Gabrielle Agbonlahor.
Oh, me.
They just had him on interview right now. I don't know. Is he like part coach or something on a championship team? He's obviously, he hasn't played since 2017, I think, or 2018. I don't know, but that is, I'd have to do some research on him. I don't know why he is. Anyway, just breaking news on that. All right, back to baseball. So I've been actually in an email chain right now because one of my leagues, so I'm in two leagues technically. One we've already abolished. I'm not doing that one. It was a $100 buy-in. I said, no, I'm not doing it. I don't care about any of it. And pretty much that league came to a conclusion. Yeah, we're going to pass this year. One of my other leagues, we didn't even finish our draft. We were like, because we just, we're all, you know, we all got our own lives. We don't do an online draft. We just kind of email each other since baseball takes forever anyway. And we were like 5 picks away from finishing the draft when this whole thing started. So they kind of just restarted the email saying like, so we finish in tomorrow? And I'm like, no, like I'm not playing. But there's like 6 guys who really, really want to play. So I don't know how this is going to work. They're just like auto-simming the rest of the draft. And I guess we're getting our teams by the end of today. And everyone who didn't get drafted, it's just free-for-all waiver. Well, I don't know if it's waivers or what it is. Again, still not really clear what's going on. But I guess it's just kind of like I don't know if we're even paying anymore. Honestly, I don't really know what's going on. So, very early discussions, even though, like I mentioned, it starts tomorrow. So, not sure how that's really going to work with the statistics and everything. Am I going to watch, by the way? No, I'm not really planning on watching baseball. And I was listening to another podcast the other day about sports, and they were saying, you know what? All said and done, don't really miss it anymore. Like, you know, like, I'm not going home to turn on, you know, Bucks Raptors, you know, like, on a Tuesday night, because it's not on. I don't care. Like, it's just got more important things to worry about. Can't wait to watch Royals Indians, you know, in a couple weeks. Like, you know, like, who's going to be doing that? You know, not really clamoring for that. I know Mike Murphy will be, but, you know, come to me when the playoffs start, I guess. I mean, I'm not too in tune to it. And like I said, if I have a fantasy season, I'm just going to be, you know, I'll watch it and I'll see what's going on and go from there. What a great answer, you know.
Yeah, no. I mean, I read the first 2 paragraphs of an article talking about how this season will benefit Otani because he won't have time to get hurt.
I
was just like, okay. And this, I don't even know who half these players are. So, you know, like you said, call me in playoffs, and then I'll figure out who the people are on the playoff teams, and that'll be my my baseball knowledge. Well, it wouldn't be a pod without a bit of television. And we're kind of away from our former talking point of Apple TV, Apple Plus, Apple Plus TV. Who knows the name even? Netflix. We got a couple of Netflix shows kind of in the similar vein. I want to hit yours off the top. Unsolved Mysteries. Give me your take. I've watched a couple. It's in the top 10. People are liking it, so you've been drawn to it. Let me know your thoughts.
So, did you, I mean, I'll just right off the top, did you ever watch the old, you know, 90s show, Unsolved Mysteries, with, like, the dude who just, you know, the creepy music and everything? Did you ever watch that?
Again, yes. I wouldn't say it was a mainstay, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. It was on, right? It was, like, X-Files and Unsolved Mysteries, I think, were, like, back-to-back. I might have just pulled that out of my butt. I kind of feel like that's how it was, but anyway. So, kind of drew me back in because of that, and... Watched the first 2 episodes. So here's the thing. It's great. I like it. I like all the interviews. I like the hypotheses. I like the reenactments. The flip of the coin here is they're unsolved. So the episodes just kind of end. You know, like you're kind of watching, like you're getting to the gusto. Everything's kind of getting good. And then they're just like, credits, and you're just like, what? And they're just like, yeah, you know, it's not solved. What else do you want us to do? And that's a big criticism of Ashley, by the way, because she That's why we like Dateline, you know, because it's like, ooh, yeah. Something goes down at the end. You know, they get caught. You know, something happens. You try to guess who it was. But this just kind of ends up with, you know, just a whodunit. And then the Reddit and the Twitter goes wild. And then now the Twitter theorists try to solve the murders and all that. So it's entertaining until it just ends. That's my thoughts on it. But I will finish it at some point.
I have to say that. The and a big shout out, happy birthday to the old Ashley there. We are on the same page, 120,000%. I came into the show, I didn't know it was Unsolved Mysteries. I was like, oh, Shay, I'm watching this like murder mystery. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Let me jump in. I get drawn in, I'm sucked in. I'm like, ooh, was this a suicide? Was this a murder? It seems like
the first one, yeah. The first one's great. They really stepped it up with the very first one. That was a unbelievable.
And then, like you said, it just ended. And I was like, so is the next episode, like, they solve it or what? And Shay's like, no, it's called Unsolved Mysteries. And I was like, so what's the point of the show? It's like you write a story and you build to the climax and then it just drops and then it's nothing. That's a tease if there ever was a tease, but there are some redeeming qualities, like you said, the music, the interviews, the build up. It does create a, you know, intrigue. I just wish they were solved. I mean, they should come back with a couple of seasons in a couple of years, Unsolved Mysteries solved, and then I think that would satisfy everyone. Needless to say, I will not be watching anymore, Will, because I was too emotionally involved in that first episode to do it to myself.
And to have it just ripped away.
Nothing. Knowing that there's no reward at the end of it. Because I don't have the time nor the patience to do my own investigatory studies online. Okay.
I mean, it was very anticlimactic. And, I mean, we can agree on the first one. Great. Mystery, whatever you want to call it. Very interesting to see what actually did happen. But what's up with the live-in roommate? That girl? It was like the friend? Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, I don't know how long ago you watched it. But there was the woman who reported, hey, Ray, I think his name was Ray, ran out of the house. Like, he was very nervous or something. And then she's just like, all right, now I'm going to go back to New York. And they're like, oh, okay, sounds good. Like, she's the last person to talk to him alive, and they don't even, like, talk to her. I mean, come on. What are you doing?
Not the strongest, detective work, it seems like. But
no, not at all. But give me a – let's just move on to more Netflix stuff. The Imposters or Imposters. I don't know what it is. Season 1. By the way, before we even get to that, we never even talked about The Boys. Season 2 coming soon. Get up for that. All right, Imposters. Oh,
yeah. Imposters. So Imposters essentially is – it follows a group of – con men and women who are involved in these elaborate schemes. And the basic format of the scheme is they have this one kind of beautiful woman, and she makes people fall in love with her. And then they know they have something bad in their past or in their family that they can hold against them. And so they take all their money and then they leave. And then, you know, they say, never follow me or I'll release this information. Well, guess as you would expect. I mean, they start following them, they find them, and then kind of the chase ensues. Obviously, the authorities are hot on the trail. And so, you know, it's a good mindless kind of watch. It was originally on Bravo. That gives you the sense of the writing, acting, and quality of the content overall. But it's kind of just the first season is kind of fun because, you know, you see the character development and there's kind of some, it's kind of like a buddy comedy at the same time. So there's some funny aspects, there's some drama, there's some, you know, romance, there's some intrigue. The second season, they've actually started the three people who got conned in the first season are now kind of con men themselves. And so it's not this is second season, not a strong showing in my book, because it's not very believable. I mean, these people 3 months ago were absolute jamokes, and now we're supposed to believe that they're like criminal masterminds. Like, come on. Anyways, season 1, obviously not a huge ringing endorsement, but if you ever get to the point where you're like, there's not a ton of, this is my hole, you don't have to start him, but you can draft him, you know, you could watch it or you cannot watch it and your life will not be unchanged. But that's what I'm watching, Will. And I can never get that life back. So I had to bring it to the listeners to put it out there in the world.
You might as well. That might as well have just been on the Apple TV review, because that's exactly how everything's been so far. Is the, you know, I mean, I watched it. I won't watch it again. I don't recommend it. C minus. Like, okay, thank you. The whole, the one question, just to prove to you that I was listening to this just rant about imposters, is season 2 a Netflix exclusive, or was like, because, you know, when shows do that, they start on Bravo or whatever, like, or is this all a Bravo show?
Again, didn't go that deep, but I would be inclined to think it is now like a Netflix. They're kind of building off of it because the production value is much higher in season 2 than season 1. The writing is slightly better in season 2 than season 1.
Well, here, I'll just go ahead and answer that for you. Well, it started in 2017. So there's that. That's all I can see. That's all it shows me.
That's fine. That's all you need to know.
Things was renewed were on easy
and different in 2017.
Nope, it's been on Bravo. It's been on Bravo, and then it was canceled after 2 seasons. So there you go.
Yep. I mean, that tells you a little bit more about what you need to know.
All the imposters fantasy podcasts here on the radio. What was I gonna, I don't know, what the hell am I doing? All right. Tomorrow, Jeff, we had some breaking news today about 35 minutes ago. MLS finally debuted their team, their crest, their name, yada yada yada. They are going to be the 30th MLS club. They're not debuting now until 2022, but they had the whole theatrics, the live streaming, all that. Charlotte FC, Charlotte Football Club, very clean, basic, but you know what, it's just what it has to be. A nice little crown in the crest. They got kind of like the Carolina Panthers colors. They got that babyish blue, turquoise blue, I don't know what you call it, in black. Royal. Nice and clean, very exciting stuff here. Well, Royal, of course. I mean, what am I doing? They got a crown. But that's just some breaking news happening just a bit ago. But the big news really on my mind, Jeff, and like you said, you want me to kind of riff off this a little bit, and that is tomorrow around this exact same time, or it might be 9 a.m. Pacific time, so it'd be noon Eastern, Xbox is having their big old reveal tomorrow. PlayStation had theirs about a month ago or so. I remember Tommy even texted me to watch it, so I watched that live. About a month ago, it was good, you know, it was whatever. Big single-player stuff on PlayStation. But as those who listen to this pod, Xbox runs tried and true with the Friends aspect. The Xbox Live, huge amongst everybody. Of course, the intertwining with the PC and all these WoW nerds that are amongst us in the group like to play on the Microsoft platform. So Xbox, all about the games tomorrow. There will be some sort of Halo announcement, I am sure. We just learned last week about Far Cry. Giancarlo Esposito is the bad guy in Far Cry coming up. That's great. The one thing, though, Jeff, that I'm really excited about with Xbox is what are they going to do to come back pretty much from this kind of really... They had a disastrous start, for those who don't really know. In the Xbox One world, also just a terrible name. Terrible names all the way around, by the way. Xbox Series X is what it's called. I mean, what if you buy an Xbox One X? I mean, that, you know, the poor parents, right? Oh, I'm here to buy the Xbox X. I mean,
failure.
Yeah, I mean, the Xbox One? Oh, I mean, the first Xbox? No, the third Xbox. Okay, anyway. I want to see what they're going to do to kind of get out on top. What's the price going to be? Are they going to go all in on digital or whatever? Are they going to, you know, make storage? Are they going to make, you know, the Blu-ray drive in there? I've already heard rumors that one's going to be, you know, all digital. One's going to have the Blu-ray drive in there. Are they going to come out with a nice little price? Game Pass is kind of like an amazing Netflix version of games. Are they buying into that? Or are there going to be exclusive games that finally make you want to play something other than sporting games on Xbox or shooters on Xbox. Because PlayStation, we've even heard on this pod, people buy for God of War. You know, they got the Uncharted games. You got Final Fantasy, all that stuff. Games that don't come out on Xbox. So I'm just seeing, is there going to be something that kind of makes me jump for joy? Other than just, you know, Halo. Because they got Halo, they got Gears of War, but those aren't things that people are just buying stuff for, Jeff. Is there anything that you would need to, you know, from 10 years ago, 30 years ago?
You took the words right out of my mouth, Will. You were talking about, you know, what exclusives are they going to do? And I was just like, well, if the name tells you anything and that's as creative as they're getting and they're going back to the tried and true, they're going to say, oh, exclusive Halo Xbox universe, like the latest one just retreaded with updated graphics is, you know, that's going to be the bundle that's going to be there. But, yeah, I'll stay tried and true the Xbox and, you know, see. There's definitely an exclusive partnership coming up with T-Bell, so we'll see what happens with that. And, but you do bring an interesting point, Will. I mean, I'm kind of at a crossroads. My Xbox, I don't even know what I have. I have two generations ago. It's fading slowly. I can kind of tell. I hear it. It yells at me. It's glitchy. So I think I'm at a crossroads. Do we go back in the Xbox? Well, this will be very telling for me. Or do, like you said, because I'm more into the solo player games. Mm-hmm. So do I make the switch to the PlayStation world? I mean, I've never been a fan of their controller, but I mean, who knows? This could take it over the edge, Will.
Question. Were you ever a big Halo guy? Did you ever play? Were you just kind of whatever about it? Did you ever play it at all?
Halo 1, I played, like, the first one. Played through the single player and did a little bit of the multiplayer, but the multiplayer was so hard because everyone else was so much better than me, so it wasn't really that fun, and I didn't have the time nor the inclination to practice. But yeah, other than that, it dropped off real quick. I think I played a little bit of, like, the third one, but then by that time, it was like the story was so insane, I had no idea what was going on. Like, I just couldn't get into it.
So, what I'm really looking forward to, and I don't know, I mean, this is pretty much a foregone conclusion. Everyone plays, you know, Call of Duty, like Warzone or whatever, like the Battle Royale version of Call of Duty. I know there's going to be a Halo version of Battle Royale. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I can just, I'm just like picturing the, I don't know, 100 people, however many people they put, you know, on a map, but with Halo weapons, Halo abilities, the swords, the battle rifles, the assault rifles, just the old classic pistol, the sniper rifle. That's going to hook. That's going to hook me to get back into the Halo well, and I think that's what it's going to take, especially if they do like this surprise kind of like, and it's available right now, and they just go, boom, there it is, go download it for free. I mean, that'll just make people run to their Xbox. Now, is that going to happen? Probably not, but, you know, I've seen bigger things, but that would be my one thing. If at noon, that's just how they, you know, or maybe they go, you know, and one more thing. And then they say it at the very end, download Halo Battle Royale. Friggin' go and get it. I mean, I could just tell you right now, the comrades, the camaraderie. The camaraderie. When have we last said that word on this podcast?
It's been a while.
The camaraderie would be relived. So that's what I'm looking forward to for the Xbox thing. To save Jeffrey from heading to the PlayStation side of things.
That's something that big is what it's going to take, Will. To give you a little bit of perspective, the swords, were those in the original or were those in like the second one?
Halo 2.
That's when I got out of it because I couldn't deal with being slaughtered mercilessly by other players. And I was just like, wow, I am terrible. I'm one of those just people getting sworded. So, and then I tried to sword people. It never worked. That's
true. It never did quite work out when you use it. But that was Halo 2. Some would say the best Halo. Not some. Pretty much everyone says is the best Halo, especially the multiplayer there. But that's tomorrow, Jeff. Big things happening today with one or two matches in the EPL world. And then Sunday, of course, the final day where all the matches take place at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Jeff, you've written the top four and the bottom three relegation versus Champions League battles, tight races between your favorite football club. My club is not in it to be. I mean, you know, Europa League. Have fun with that, Jeff. What do we got?
Lots on the docket. Two of the top five playing today. Top two, pretty much secure. I mean, 100% secure. There's no chance. Mathematically impossible. Liverpool, have they been dipping in form a little bit? They're obviously the champions. Are they just waiting for the trophy ceremony? They're kind of just riding out their time. Big match.
You're hoping so. You're hoping so.
I hope so. I mean, Chelsea playing them today, 11:45, 12:15 Pacific. Who knows? Chelsea needs a win in their next two games. That's all they need. If they win today, their top four place is secure. They also have another game with Wolves. One win seals the deal, or two draws will seal the deal. Else, it will be out of their control. They're also coming off a big win against Man U on the weekend in the FA Cup. So I think we got a little bit of momentum. Hopefully Conte N'Golo is healthy and can get into this, because it's going to definitely be, even if Liverpool aren't playing at 100%, they're still going to be attacking, and we're going to have to play a little bit more of a counter-attacking game, which is a N'Golo Conte special. I don't know if we hit on it. We may have just touched on it briefly last time, Will. Man City, their UEFA ban from Champions League was overturned, and now they can pretty much just spend unfettered dollars into the club. They're pretty much locked into second. They also really don't care anymore. They're living the Saudi prince life. Next two clubs, though, Will, battle. This was great scheduling by the scheduling gods, if there ever was. Leicester City dropping the ball since the restart. If there's one team, I think, in the entire Premier League that dropped the ball at the restart, it was Leicester. I mean, you talk to them beginning of this year, they're in second place. I mean, they're flying high. They have a huge – Jamie Vardy was on fire. They're sitting right now at 62 points, 1 point off Chelsea, but they've played one more, and they only have one game left. The best part about it, though, is they play Man United, who's sitting at 62 points with a worse goal differential. It could come down to the goal differential, Billiam.
Like I mean, today, Man, well, let's just Greg is shaking in his boots right now, because today, in about, what, hour and 15 minutes or so, they go up against Man U. I'm talking about the dangerous West Ham, doing their best to not get relegated. Well, they're doing their best not to get relegated as well. They're down there, so we'll see if Man U can, you know, if they, because if Man U doesn't win, oh boy.
Yeah, that would set up a monster matchup on the final day next week end. But I believe West Ham now is safe from relegation. I was doing the math quickly.
I know they're 3 points up on Aston Villa and Watford. I don't think so. Wouldn't they? Because 37. Yeah, if Aston Villa and Watford both win, it's goal differential. Yes, you're right. You're correct. Goal differential.
Yeah, so are they going to be, you know, a little bit? Their headspace might be not be 100%, but then again, you play the big clubs,
and you're up. You get up for it. You get up for it. Yeah,
you're trying to get paid. Jack Grealish is on Aston Villa. He's trying to get paid, even though he's in the relegation battle. He's trying to get picked up by Man U. So maybe other players on West Ham will do the same. Then that final match, they are tied on goal differential, so this game even matters even more. If they lose and they depend, if they say they lose 2-0, then they have to not only, they essentially have to win at Leicester. They couldn't tie and go on, obviously, because goal differential. Duh, Jeff, this is why it's real time pod. But there's an interesting little Europa conundrum, Will, with involving your team, Wolves, 59 points. They have Chelsea on the final day as their last game.
Tottenham on their tails. Yep.
Right there, 58 points. They have a Tottenham has a +1 goal differential over Wolves and has Crystal Palace left, so likely the easier opponent for Tottenham. A real up and down story these past couple weeks. Sometimes they look to be in good form, obviously dropping that big North London derby against Arsenal a couple weeks ago. Jose being Jose. Sometimes I forget he's even the manager of Tottenham. It's kind of wild. It's kind of funny. You know, they obviously have that huge new stadium, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, empty. So real unfortunate timing on the old COVID, not paying back that stadium as they hoped. But that'll be an interesting Europa kind of down to the wire finish on the last day. It'll really, you know, Wolves. That'll be interesting if Wolves need to win. You know, Wolves will need
Chelsea
to win
need
to
secure. Draw and Chelsea or something. Need to,
yeah. There'll be some intrigue there.
Woo. I was looking at the Leicester schedule, as you mentioned. You know, what have they been doing since the restart? Yeah, not great. They started off with that loss to Everton, and then they lost to Bournemouth 4-1.
Cherries.
I mean, talk about squandering it out. You know, every match matters, you know, except for in baseball, because there's too many damn games. But you're right, with the scheduling, I mean, they had a chance to kind of, you know, make this right with these last month or so, and they've really done their due diligence with making sure these last matches are meaningful, especially coming down to Sunday, and even matches today have impact, you know, even if it is West Ham playing against, you know, one of the top teams in the table. So relegation, you already kind of mentioned West Ham is safe. I ain't really, points wise they're not, but because of goal differential they're good to go. But you have What is it? Two teams battling for, I guess, battling, right? How do you call it? Battling for one safe spot?
Yes, I guess, yeah. Battling to stay
up. Or is it
up,
three teams? I guess three teams are, never mind, three teams are battling for two safe spots.
Yeah.
Wait, what am I saying here? Three teams have a chance
to stay up.
To finish in the bottom two. No, because Aston Villa, Watford, and Bournemouth
yeah.
have a chance, only one of them can escape. That's what I'm trying to say. There we go. Yep. One of those three teams is going to stay up. That's, woo!
Three teams enter, one team leaves.
Thank you.
So, the interest, I'm jumping in now, Will. Bournemouth is the long shot here. They're sitting one game to go. They're on 31 points. Villa and Watford above them, both at 34. The interesting thing is the goal differential, Will. I mean, they are equal to Watford on goal differential. So Bournemouth, their only chance is to win and then hope both Villa and Watford lose. And at that point, they'd probably be safe. Mm. I guess, yes, they would need both of them, right, to lose, yes.
Yep.
Watford has, you know, they're also sitting on 34 points. They're playing Arsenal, who does have an outstanding FA Cup championship with Chelsea in the next couple of weeks. So, again, who knows to their motivation? They're solidly in the middle of the table. But then again, you know, I guess you play to your opponents, and if your opponents are playing hard, that's what you do. Aston Villa plays West Ham. We just kind of talked about them, you know, just becoming safe, and who knows where their mindset will be. They're coming off a big win at Arsenal. They've shown that they can do it. So it feels likely that Villa will escape. And just understanding a little bit on the talent on their team, they are, I think, a bit more talented than Watford and Bournemouth. But then again, I have no idea. And just like we always say, well, nobody knows anything about anything. There is one thing I know, and let's talk about segues of all segues. Not on the rundown, Will, but I think, you know, the Washington football team has now forsaken their Redskin name. Do they need to take some, you know, cues from the Premier League and some of the names that these teams have? I mean, Norwich, the Canaries. Ooh, just strike fear in the hearts of your opponent. Bournemouth, the Cherries. Ooh, delicious. Watford, I believe, is the Hornets. West Ham, the Hammers. Brighton are like the Seagulls. Come on.
The Seagulls.
Arsenal is a cannon. Sheffield United are like those sweet blades. Like, ooh, there's you are, a lot.
Wow, gold. Coming out with all the nicknames right here.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, because we have to be American football, we got to have a hard name like the DC Freedom or DC Constitutions or DC Monuments. I don't know. I don't know, Will. But, you know, sometimes you just go with what's native in your land. And, you know, I believe Bournemouth, there's a lot of cherry trees. So maybe I believe in Washington, there's a lot of cherry trees. Why couldn't we?
Talk about chopping down a cherry tree right there.
Oh, my word. I didn't even go there.
So it's funny that because one of the names we were talking about were like the Red Wolves for Washington, like the Red Wolves or something like that. Red Tails, Red Devil. I mean, I'll say Red Devils, man. You. So yeah, a little thing there. What a segue.
Shout out to the
thank you. I think what they need to realize, and we haven't touched on this, thank you, by the way, we're on the NFL now, is are they going to stick with Washington as the place, or are they going to maybe switch it over to DC? I would like, because that's what the XFL did, they were just called the DC Defenders, kind of rolled off the tongue like that. And Washington, if you keep that kind of moniker, you're kind of, are you sticking, you know, are people always going to remember the racial slur name with them, or would you rather start new? Now, the funny thing about all this is the owners and all this are obviously thinking about money, so they want to keep – they want to make as little changes to the uniforms, the logo, the colors as possible, because that just means, you know, less money and less advertising and all that kind of stuff to change anything. Some even saying, why don't they just call themselves the Washington Football Club? I mean, it is actually – you know, football is football. Why don't they just call themselves that? Maybe they're just the Washington team. I mean, you know, you've already said it yourself, right? In a week, it's August. And pretty sure, you know, preseason is usually slated to start in August. A football game from this Washington team is going to be starting more or less in a month. They're going to have to come up with something soon, Jeff. So I like your idea. The cherry trees. The cherry trees. I mean, come on. Well, anything else kind of stand out to you for a name, or you like the Washington Football Club idea, anything like that?
Yeah, I didn't. Maybe that DC Football Club or something like that. Mm-hmm. Spin off. But I mean, that's also like the DC United. It's kind of interesting off that. I don't know. You know, it'll probably end up being something terribly cliched. I don't have high hopes for Dan Schneider and the old gang of
Schneider. People who are wow, get him the old CH, the Schneider.
Schneiderling. No real hope for them. But yeah, I mean, the equipment people are like, come on, dudes. I got to put like 50 stickers on helmets here in the next couple weeks. Like, get at me.
Man, Dwayne Haskins really needs his jersey soon.
Scary Terry out there. It's an interesting year, Will. We've hit on it a couple. You just touched on it. It would be time where we would be talking about meaningless football games, preseason coming up. NFL policies still evolving around COVID. I have a fantasy question for you, Will. Is this going to be a special year where you're going to have to change your mindset a little bit over past years? Is it the year of the handcuff? Is it the year of drafting two quarterbacks and two tight ends? Because there are talks that a player could be out for 3 weeks, potentially, if they contract COVID, before they're able to even come back and start practicing. So who knows how long they'll actually be out of action. And along those points, Will, want to hear your thoughts on how fantasy leagues need to evolve. I've heard people having 5+ IR slots just so they can fit people in. I think FAB is now a requirement just because of the volatile nature of players moving in and out of lineups, and the waiver wire is going to be even more insane. And then I think, you know, you're going to need to be able to make changes up until kickoff for every position, not just, you know, it locks, the Sunday people lock once it starts, which happens in some leagues. So I think it is the year of the handcuff. I was always a little bit partial to those injury-prone high-end running backs. You should probably handcuff them. The drafting two QBs and two tight ends is an interesting mindset that I definitely have not been in. And people did, especially when our league was a 14-team league, did draft two quarterbacks and two tight ends because of, you know, scarcity at certain positions, or at least perceived scarcity. What are your thoughts, Will?
First thought is, when you're talking about handcuffs, and obviously we're going to have the, I guess there's going to be like there's no designated amount of IR people who can return. I think, what did they say? Anyone can return from IR this season, because of, just the COVID and all that stuff and the amount of time people have to be off. Is there going to be a new, maybe like attribute in Madden? Is there going to be a new immunity attribute? Like, is someone going to have a higher immune system? I mean, what, like, Tom Brady's got to be 99, right? Like, there's no way he's getting COVID, but, you know, you got the people who are, you know, maybe partying a little too much. You know, I don't want to throw names out there, but Gronk, how's his COVID rating? I feel like that's got to be like a 20, because, you know, that dude's doing whatever he wants. So I think we're going to have to look at stuff a little bit differently when drafting players, picking them off of waivers, fab, all that. I really do like, on a serious note, the suggestion of, this is what happens in fantasy baseball. Every player has their own. You can swap in and out until they actually start playing. And I do think that needs to be changed in weekly, you know, NFL leagues, fantasy leagues. Just because it's Sunday and it's 1 p.m. Eastern does not mean your whole team should lock. You need to be able to switch players in and out willingly until they actually start playing. So I think that definitely needs to be changed. And what I'm maybe a bigger bet, the part that's kind of worrying me to me about the two QBs, two tight ends, backups, is the bench going to change in fantasy? Because then that means if you're drafting a bunch of handcuffs, you're drafting multiple positions, that obviously means the waiver wire is going to be, if you thought tight end wasteland was a wasteland before, what's it going to be when people's benches are 10 deep and they're all having two tight ends? I mean, you're really going to hope for, you know, Michael Amun Amani Mani back on the playing field to get him back on there. So I think it's going to be a little bit of give and take here. Do we have bigger benches? Because if that's the case, the player, you know, availability is going to be more scarce. What kind of sacrifices are we willing to make with that, Jeff?
Yeah, that's a great point, Will. And this is my public service announcement to all fantasy football platforms. Make it easy and prompt commissioners with these types of questions as they're renewing their leagues. Because it's already a pain to go in and like change some of these things, which is honestly the only reason I think we don't have fab, is because it's kind of a pain to go in and change it. So make it easy. Make it like, here, we've got some COVID specific questions that we think, you know, maybe some recommendations that are things to consider, and then make it easy to change. So a little bit of public service announcement there for all fantasy platforms. I did like your point, Will, where maybe it's, we keep the draft the same number of rounds, but then you have like three or four extra spots, extra roster spots. And with fab, you kind of start some initial bidding for players and pickups that way before week one. That way, no matter when you draft, you'll be able to modify your lineup in a fair way up until that first kickoff.
Let's just see if we can even get fab going, by the way. I mean, good luck getting that, and especially in our league. By the way, Sheffield United is the Blades, just because they're showing all the names right now on Sky Sports. Just because the really cool animation's going on. I think if we can get fab going, then all bets are off. We can do whatever we need to. But you know how it goes with our voting, especially in our league, how it took so long and just to even get it to an even vote. People don't like change. So now we're talking, now we're saying, hey, the draft's going to be 14 rounds still, but you know, this, and also fab to start the season, or waivers this way or that way, COVID list. I mean, this is just gonna, it might derail the whole thing. And our commissioner, God bless his soul. He's not dead. Just God bless him. He, not the swiftest of feats for him to do things. So we'll see. We've had him on this podcast once, you know, to give him the old rigmarole, and he hasn't been on since. Tough man to get a hold of. Granted, he has a busy life. So we'll see how willing he is to change anything, really, in that league.
I mean, building off our league, which is full of conundrums, I have a couple of fantasy conundrums, Will, just looking at ADPs of players and projecting value and where these players, I think, you know, are overdrafted or underdrafted. I want to talk to you about one of your favorite teams, Will, the Rams. And I'm just very confused. Oh, yeah. And this is a general quandary I have. And it has to do with where certain quarterbacks are ranked relative, or wide receivers for that matter, relative to where their skill position players are drafted. Right now, the market is saying that Cooper Kupp is almost a top 12 option, and Robert Woods is a top 24 option almost, and Tyler Higbee is the tight end 8, but Jared Goff is the quarterback 18. Meaning, I don't understand how at quarterback 18 he's supposed to support 3 starting players, much like Drew Lock is supposed to support Cortland Sutton as a wide receiver 1, Jerry Jeudy as, you know, a wide receiver 3, but then he's also going to be passing to Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. I think I can spot the places in the Drew Lock situation where people will regress, likely in Jeudy and Philip Lindsay, but I think people are going to be a little bit either. The bottom line is they're either down on Goff or they're too high on Kupp and Woods.
Yeah, I think so. I'm thinking this maybe means someone like Kupp or Woods or Higbee. Let's just use the Rams example. Those three maybe are either yardage dependent or touchdown dependent. Meaning, I would think more yardage. Maybe they're gonna get all their 1,000 yards, but they'll only get a couple touchdowns because Goff. And there's also the turnover situation, right? The fumbling. Maybe they're thinking Goff's going to be prone to a lot of turnovers, and he's not going to get a lot of rushing yardage, right?
Yep.
As opposed to someone like Lamar, who his skill players aren't high, because we can go backwards on this, right? We can flip this. No one's drafting Hollywood Brown as a top 10 wide receiver, even though Lamar is the consensus, number 2 quarterback? Yep. But that's because himself, with his stats, he's very independent. As those wide receivers are. Whereas Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp are going to be a lot of after-the-catch running, where quarterbacks don't get a lot of points for yardage. They get all their points from touchdowns. The running back situation, the Rams are a little bit unique with that, right? Because they don't have a true starter yet. So I think that might be a little different. Drew Lock, though, I mean, maybe he's one of those dudes. If you believe the skill players are really going to shine and be those starting options, around the field, he is a dude you kind of hope can get those points. I mean, he is a little bit more of an unknown entity. I think entity is the word I want there. So I think he is a little bit different. He can be that guy. I think if you want to take a little more risk on Drew Lock, just because you think his surrounding talent is going to be getting, you know, so much usage, so many points, then I can see that. I am just a Goff, non-believer. So I think what you've said is kind of rang true in terms of it's either going to be Goff super low or super high or whatever. I think he's just going to be super low.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're spot on there, Will. Another conundrum that I'm running into here, Will, there's a lot of emphasis on running quarterbacks and – I mean, if you look at the top 7, they're all pretty much running quarterbacks. I mean, there's no real pure passer in the top 7.
Matt Ryan, wow.
Mostly because of the safe floor that their rushing yardage provides. But do you think there's any possibility that coaches will take a little bit safer of approach this year, given COVID, given that, you know, players can, you know, drop because of this invisible disease? And do we need to really take more risks with people running the ball as often? And maybe I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson, but maybe this is more like a Josh Allen type question where he's got some good receivers now. Are we going to lean as heavily on his running abilities such that he should be ranked as a top seven quarterback when his accuracy and passing aren't necessarily the greatest? Or are you trying to get those? Are you like Hooey, Jeff? I'm trying to get those running quarterbacks, or at least someone with some rushing ability, so I can get that floor on a week-to-week basis.
Hooey! I don't think anyone's going to be telling Josh Allen not to run. Lamar, I mean, I didn't really mention Lamar. Dak, Deshaun, Kyler Murray, who everyone loves. But, you know, I think if I had to take someone, I don't know, I'm going to, you know, we've already talked about this. We're not going to draft super high for a quarterback, which is going to be one of those elite runners. I don't think that the coaches are going to say anything different. I mean, we've heard this argument for years, right? RG3, what's going to happen? Is he going to keep running? Michael Vick, what's going to happen? Is he going to keep running? I mean, those are just the two off the top of my head. And now we got Lamar. What's he going to do? Is he going to keep running? I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to keep running, regardless of an invisible disease or the lack of talent because of everyone going on IR because of this disease. I think Lamar is going to do what he does, as well as all these other quarterbacks. Josh Allen, he's shown he can be a great fantasy quarterback. Real-life quarterback? Eh. Fantasy? Absolutely. Because he can lead the team in rushing if he needs to. He is a bigger guy. I think he is kind of the guy that is gonna, that offense is going to run through, even though they got Stephon Diggs, even though Devin Singletary is going to be the main running back. So I'm not gonna go ahead and dock quarterbacks that normally run the ball and these troubling times. But I'm also looking at someone like, just looking at these mock drafts or these ADP right now. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, late seventh round. I mean, whew.
Ooh, that is. I think there's so much Aaron Rodgers hate right now in the market. It's kind of crazy. You know who there's a lot of hate for? Well, late round RBs getting disrespected. Two definitely disrespected, and a third one that I think a lot of people think is sneaky. I'm talking about Damian Williams, 83 overall, and Marlon Mack, 87 overall, and then the spicy one, Ronald Jones, 94 overall. Are these people being disrespected because of the rookies that were brought in their situations, and in Ronald Jones' case, just putting on 10 more pounds of muscle?
So I don't mean to go after my co-host here, my friend. I don't know where he's seeing this Marlon Mack 87 overall. First, I thought these were like Madden ratings when he first posted this, and I was like, what?
Fantasy pros.
Fantasy pros. Yeah, Fantasy football calculator. Damian Williams, 76 overall, according to this site. Ronald Jones, 84th overall. Marlon Mack, 58th overall. So not sure where you're seeing that. I know we talked about this, though, before, because Marlon Mack is still going ahead of his rookie counterpart, Jonathan Taylor. Whereas Damian Williams, Ronald Jones kind of going behind theirs. Ronald Jones, I don't want any of that. That Tampa Bay running situation was a nightmare last year. They got this pass-catching running back now for Tom Brady. I am staying far away from that. I mean, Damian Williams, you know, shame on me, whatever. Fool me once, shame on me. I'm not getting fooled again with Damian Williams. But Marlon Mack, Marlon Mack is tough, too, because they also have Nyheim Hines, right, who was that pass-catching back already the first time.
He's off the radar at this point.
But who knows? Is he? I don't know. They got – I mean, I'm not – we've talked about Jonathan Taylor last week. I don't know. Okay, let me restart. Let me restart. If I'm going to take one, I'm going back in the well. I guess it would be Damian Williams, I think, if I had to choose, because Andy Reid damn loves him some veterans. Shady McCoy took away all the, you know, the touches last season. So I guess if I had to choose one, it'd be Damian Williams.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. A lot of people talking about, you know, how the lack of preseason, the OTAs, the mini camps, everything for these rookies, wide receivers, and running backs is going to impact them going forward. And I've even heard these exact words stated on two different fantasy podcasts. Well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will just need a couple weeks to, you know, get going and take over the role. So by week five, you could have the starter in Kansas City. And I was in my head, I was like, even if you have the starter, isn't it going to be a similar situation how it was last year where that means 15 touches a week and the other guy is still getting 10 to 12? And by that time, you've already burned a second or third round pick for 5 weeks of the season. So for almost half the season, they're not helping you get to the playoffs. I just don't see how that second or third round value, if you want to get them in the fifth, yeah, that's fine. And these guys are closer together, then I totally see that value. But it's kind of like, well, they just need time to take over. And oh yeah, Jonathan Taylor had, you know, run pass blocking issues in college, but he just needs some time to get over that. And I'm like, they do know Phillip Rivers is their quarterback, and he will have a big say in who his running back is, right?
And who can protect for him, because, you know, that's how that happened in Los Angeles. Or God, for the Chargers. I mean, but that happens a lot with these rookies, right? Or just even any players that go to a new team. It's they just got to figure out the system, and just, you know, in a couple weeks, they'll be good to go. That kind of happened with, what was the running back? Or who is the running back for the Bears right now? The small dude? Tariq Cohen.
Oh, Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, after they got rid of Howard, right? It was, it was after they got rid of Howard. It's like, oh, well, he can be the guy. He just needs a little bit of time to get used to being the guy. It's like, what? Just, why would I draft him then if he just needs a little bit of time? You're doing it all based on speculation, and that's why I don't, you know, when you're asking me about Jonathan Taylor or Damian Williams or whatever, it's like, okay, we said it last week. Would you rather do two of the same type of risks or one of each? So I guess, you know, I'd rather draft both Marlon Mack and Damian Williams, right? And just hope that one of them wins that job, as opposed to just doing a little bit of both, where I'm going to take, you know, Marlon Mack and I'm going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, no, I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I'm going to try to play it safe with those end rounds and hope one of them strikes gold.
There we go. It's spoken like a man who knows his strategy. And speaking of strategy, Will, I think this year, more than ever, I'm hearing about zero running back, zero RB as a strategy.
I don't know what kind of listening you're doing.
The fantasy football cognoscenti, at least some of them. And that's also to say that, you know, the cognoscenti need clicks. They need views, you know, they're eager for eyes, so they need some contrarian takes. And I think some people are looking at zero RB as a contrarian take, but I just don't see how it's possible. I've never been a fan of it. Even in a 10 team league, I don't think running back is deep enough to where you can ever make it happen. If you look at last year, you know, this, if you 4 points per game difference was all that separated running back 7 and 27. But you apply that to wide receiver, and it's 7 to wide receiver 59. So pretty much every potential starter, the only difference was 4 points per game. But you need to get one of those top 30 running backs, two of them, to make sure that you're not having a complete drop off and a complete dud at that asset, given there will be some of those drafted in those places this year. But I just don't see how rolling the dice with a couple rookies and a person like Damian Williams is going to be a sound strategy at the running back, the most scarce position in fantasy.
You wrote, for the wide receiver one, what was it? Wide receiver 7 and 27 as well. Is that what that was?
No, it's wide receiver.
Question mark.
It was supposed to be posed as a question, but then I would forget what the number
was. Oh,
was.
I see. So I get it. No, sorry. I got you. I got you. No, I got you.
So
okay.
Four points per game difference, 59.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. What did we do 2 weeks ago on this very pod?
We did a mock draft.
Mm-hmm. We did a mock draft. And we did the RB we heavy. Drafted back-to-back running backs. In the first round, or first two picks, we did Josh Jacobs and Nick Chubb or whatever order it was. And then we traveled down. We traveled down the rabbit hole of round six, round seven. And there was one player, I think Marlon Mack was still there with like the round six, you know, pick. Round three, I do remember there was Le'Veon Bell. I think that's who we picked with our third or fourth overall pick. So if we would have went two wide, let's say we went two wide receivers the first two rounds, right? Let's say we got DeAndre and I don't know, Odell maybe. Maybe those would be the two you would go back to back with. I'm not really, Odell's kind of high for that. Would you be comfortable with a team like that? Le'Veon Bell, Marlon Mack, DeAndre Hopkins, and insert, you know, one other wide receiver there. How would you feel about that team?
I wouldn't feel great about it. In a PPR, it might be good, but in a half or in a standard league, I'm not liking it as much because there's going to be bye weeks. There's going to be, you know, COVID, and I'd rather look to the wide receiver pool to pick someone else up. I mean, I liked our team because we had three guys that we can, that should be solid contributors, high probability solid contributors on a week to week basis. So we have three of our starting positions filled out. Wide receiver, we got Adam Thielen, I believe, and then we have a bunch of high upside guys, including, you know, my boy Marvin Jones that we can slot into that old wide receiver spot if necessary. But yeah, I've always been a more running back heavy approach. You know what we need to do, Will? I think we need to test our hypothesis. Maybe next week, maybe the week after, depending on the news week. We need to do another mock draft with a zero RB strategy and see how much we throw up in our mouth.
Will we do it with the expert simulator? Same exact thing, right?
Course.
That way we don't keep the variables the same.
So we draft from the 12 spot again, keep everything the same.
Yeah, I think, was it the 12 spot?
Yeah.
It was like 11 or 12. Yeah, it was 12. That's right. We were back to back. Okay. Yeah. I'm down for that. We can do that next week. Ooh, wow. How often do we tease future pods? Oh, my word. We got to do that. And then we also got to start, you know what you do, prediction. This is predicting our teases, predicting some actual stuff. The season's coming up in a month. We got to put up some Google Docs, still waiting for DeMarco Murray to outrush Derrick Henry. Should be any day now coming up. Might be the worst Google Doc bet in NFL history.
pretty bad.
I'm down. We'll do a zero RB mock draft next week. Put it on the doc.
Sounds good, Boyle. Until then.
All right. So no, definitely zero RBs though. That'll be very interesting. Xbox news coming tomorrow. Man U hopefully doesn't go straight into the chokey against West Ham in the next 45 minutes. And everyone stay safe. This was the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. Two in a week, Boyle. Peace.
Woo! Stay safe. Peace out.